Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back in. 92.9 The Game, the Abe TL Show. Rolling on. Just a couple of segments left before we hand things over to Big Ten basketball. Purdue and Indiana in essentially a must-win game for the Hoosiers if they want to get into the tournament in Mike Woodson's final season as head coach of the Crimson and Cream. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. That's Atlanta Ford dealer. And welcome in Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons reporter and insider. And we've been talking a lot of Falcons here, and good afternoon, Joe. One of the questions I had for you is kind of a discussion I was having, because there's not a lot I can confidently say about the Falcons' plans with number 15. Like, I'd like to suggest that they're going to take a pass rusher, but I don't know if I can really say that confidently. I'd like to suggest that they're going to take at least the defensive player. I don't even know if that's on tap or even sticking at 15. So what's the strongest statement that you can currently make about the Falcons' plans with the first-round draft?
Toyota has been building a legacy of excellence for years, from developing hybrid technology to upping the standards of safety and efficiency. Toyota is always innovating, always making progress. And with Toyota's superior lineup of SUVs in stock at your local Toyota dealer, you can experience the legacy for yourself. So check out an adventure-ready RAV4, designed to be the perfect mix of style, practicality, and go-anywhere attitude. Or test drive a capable and affordable Corolla Cross with the space and available tech to keep you cool and connected. And both RAV4 and Corolla Cross are available with all-wheel drive, giving you the freedom to roam. Quality, reliability, efficiency. That's the legacy of Toyota. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals, to find out more. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, like, listen, I get the skepticism for thinking the Falcons could do something off the wall and do something unpredictable like they have done recently, not even just in the Michael Penix one, which was a shocker. But I think even, you know, to draft Bijan Robinson, I think surprised a lot of people in that draft. And, you know, heck, with going all the way back to Kyle Pitts, this team has been known to kind of do some different things. But in this one, I just can't get over the fact that all, the needs are so much concentrated on that defensive side of the football. I would be really surprised if they don't target one of those positions with that number 15 pick. Now, will it be the edge? I think that is something that can be debated because, you know, while I think that that is the move that they should and probably will go, I think that there are arguments that you can make that they could go in other positions. But listen, I get the skepticism, but I have to think that that's going to be what they're going to address because they know that I think that there's more predictability of what this team is going to be able to produce offensively with Michael Penix under. I think that they actually feel pretty confident about, even though it's just a 3-game sample size, what exactly he put on tape. And this Falcons team is ultimately going to go as far as that defense takes them. So I think they do actually understand that that's really where the resources need to be deployed this offseason.
Joe Patrick, Atlanta Falcons insider here for 92.9 The Game. And Joe, it's kind of just stumbled to me, and obviously I want to get to the offseason timeline with a lot of different things, but the question about Kirk Cousins and his roster status, obviously he's going to weigh heavily here, but is this a situation where you think Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris at least had to wait till they talked to people at the combine to see if there was any chance of anything? Is there a world in which something does go down at the combine that either gives them a clearer picture in general or action itself in terms of his movement?
Yeah, I definitely think that. Well, I've always thought that, you know, whenever this happened, there was always, it obviously produced a very visceral reaction for fans, certainly, to just say, let's get rid of this guy today. Like, don't waste any time. And that may be how, even some people in the Falcons building may have felt in their gut. But I think that everybody knew that this was always going to be kind of a drawn out process that was going to go toward that March 16th deadline of when he would be owed that $10 million roster bonus. And I think that, you know, being able to talk to other teams at the NFL combine is probably part of that. That's obviously how Cousins kind of felt to the Falcons. If you remember last year, it was kind of these, you know, clandestine meetings between, GMs, over dimly lit rooms and those kinds of things to talk about how they're going to scheme up their teams. And so certainly, you know, you would hope that something like that could develop for the Falcons positively. But ultimately, Abe, with the stipulations in Kirk Cousins' contract, specifically the fact that he has the no trade clause, it just makes it hard to believe that they would actually be able to work out a trade for a team, because the teams that will receive him are best suited by him by them not making that trade. And ultimately, I just don't think that there's the demand that teams would want to make sure that they're the highest bidder, and Kirk Cousins would have to want to go there to either one of those teams anyway. So I just think that that whole kind of cocktail makes it unlikely that anything ultimately gets done, but they're going to take their time and let it play out.
So what does the offseason timeline look like in your mind here? There's the potential, obviously, of making some cuts, Kirk Cousins among them. There's potentials of restructuring some contracts to try and help create some cap space, extensions, re-signings, free agency, all that stuff. What does the timeline look like in terms of transactions by this team?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we're going to see. So I believe the teams, the open tampering window. I don't know if I have the dates off the top of my head, but I think it was March 10th is when the legal tampering window begins, which is really when free agency begins. Like, it's really not on the first day of the league year, because, you know, that's frankly like when Kirk Cousins, like, you know, he didn't technically sign, but they had the agreement in place and all that. And, you know, teams have to be very careful about how they phrase that especially when they're speaking publicly. But I would expect that, you know, that's when moves will be starting to make to acquire players, obviously. But I think before that, you will see, you know, some of these extensions potentially, if those are on the cards, to be executed, so that the money is actually freed up for this team to go out and spend the way they're going to need to in order to bolster this team. And it's not going to be a huge year of spending. You know, it all depends on how much they want to push on to further years with regards to extensions and restructurings and things like that. There are clear needs, obviously, for this team, probably on both sides of the ball. But again, especially thinking about defensively, and some of those key veteran pickups are going to be so important for the success of this team.
Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons insider, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. A lot bigger list of Falcons players, restricted or unrestricted, that could head to free agency. But top of the list is Drew Dahlman. Is this a situation where the Falcons need to do everything they can to bring him back? and what are maybe some of the financials you could be looking at it would take to return him to this locker room?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question because it's kind of been up in the air. There's been a lot of rumors about, you know, what he's going to go for. And the thing that Drew Dolman has going for him in terms of getting the biggest contract available is that he is pretty much inarguably the best at his position in the free agent market. So those players are always going to be paid a premium because they're the best possible value add that teams can make. And so, you know, it's an interesting one for, you know, my perception of the way that the Falcons have been thinking about bringing him back, which was, you know, if you would have asked me a year ago, it wasn't even like a huge issue. I would have thought, you know, that they would easily extend him. And then he had some injury issues this past year. I still think the team was markedly better. The offensive line performed markedly better when he was in, when he was playing. I know that a lot of people say there's not too much of a difference between him and Ryan Neuville. I think that that's a little bit misguided. But I think it's also fair to say that Drew Dolman is a somewhat limited center. And so, you know, in terms of his pass protection, he's obviously had those snapping issues. And so considering that fact, how high do you want to go with this contract? And it sounds like when the rumors were, if it's like $13 million, $14 million, I would actually buy the Falcons jumping up to make that offer to bring him back because they really do value what he brings to this unit. But if what is rumored, you know, and this is just kind of things that are spread on online and stuff like that, but if it gets much above that into like the $16, $17, I've even seen $20 million kind of thrown out there, it's hard to imagine that the Falcons can realistically, you know, consider themselves viable considering the other, you know, salary cap issues that they're dealing with at this point, and that they'll have to just go with a more value player at that position.
Or draft pick.
But then, you know, then you probably need to expect to spend premium capital, pretty premium capital, maybe not your 15th pick, but, you know, you don't have many picks at this point. You would, you know, if he's going to be a starter for you, then you would want to make sure that that's a quality player.
Hey, answer this for me, and I think a lot of the fans are going to be invested in your response to this, and it's Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, so the tampering period is a week before the deadline that the Falcons need to release Kirk Cousins. Is there a benefit in this petty world that we live in to maybe holding on to Cousins to the very last second as punishment and letting some of the other quarterbacks who are available fill some of the spots Cousins could have occupied? Is there a world in which that is how the Falcons treat this timeline?
So I think that it pretty much will be the way they treat the timeline, but I don't think that it's because of pettiness. I just think it's the best possible thing that they can do for their own party. Like, because they don't really benefit by cutting him. That's the thing. It's like there's really no benefit. That's what Terry Fontenot was saying at that end of season press conference when he was like, "We're comfortable keeping him as our backup quarterback because that's already in the budget, and if you were to move off of them, unless it's a trade, it's not really going to do anything for you." And even like, it's a great point that you bring up, Abe, because you know, when you think about it, maybe potentially that would be the case where a team would say, "Okay, well, we'll do a trade for you. You're still going to need to pick up almost the entirety of the salary, but we'll take a little bit off the top, so we'll save you a couple million here, just so we can get this player in that we want at the beginning of, you know, these negotiations while we're setting up our team." So that, you know, you made me rethink it here. Maybe there is a slight possibility for a trade in that sense. I still don't think it's going to be a huge needle mover for the Falcons, but, you know, but it's, then again, it's a good enough reason to hold on to him because you're not really getting anything if you just let him go.
So do you think there is still a realistic possibility that they don't cut him by March 17th, that they do hold on to him beyond as a backup?
It's hard for me to see that. It's hard for me to see that because the $10 million. Once the $10 million
kicks in. So let me stop you there. Then let's get into this war of words here. What Terry Fontenot said, did you think that was intended to mean into the season, or do you think that was intended to mean up until the new league year, where we're comfortable with him as our backup?
When he said it, I think he meant into the season.
Okay.
But a lot has changed since he said that.
Yeah.
With regards to what Kirk Cousins publicly revealed.
Okay, I'm just making sure we're on the same page here. So you ultimately do think, because of what he said, among some other things, that he will be cut from this team?
Correct, correct. I think that made his situation untenable, with especially the fans, that they couldn't keep on with him. So I do think that they will be trying to get rid of him as much as they possibly can.
Joe, the fans are also going to run out of patience with Younghoe Koo. And I know there were some injury issues this past season, but there were some kicking issues as well. Riley Patterson, certainly not a solution. Kid can't hit a 55-yarder. Are you expecting a kicking competition in camp this year?
I definitely am. If anything, Abe, just for the optics of the situation, like if I was the coach of this team and, you know, you had the struggles of that position you went through last year, you would want to kind of signal out like, hey, like we're going to get the best guy in here possible. We're not just kind of going to rest on our laurels. And if Koo wins it, then good for him. And I think that would actually instill a lot of confidence in the fan base, no matter who wins it, that you actually have a kicker who can, come through when you need him, like the Falcons didn't get last year. So I definitely think that will happen.
How much
I don't know if it'll be with Riley Patterson, though.
Better not be. How much Koo do you think was about the injuries versus what seems to be a downward slide over the past couple of years in terms of his accuracy?
Yeah, no, I think that there's definite reason to think that the injuries played a part, because it was really, he was one of the most accurate kickers in NFL history, and, not the biggest sample size, but a qualifying sample size. As of, what was that, 2022, I believe it was, that he hit that mark. So, but it's kind of been downhill for him since then. Although it got particularly bad last year, and obviously the injury revelation where he was unable to play, I believe a couple games, was questionable going into some games that he played as well. I would have to think that for a kicker who relies so much on that motion, that would play a part. But again, I think we're going to find out a lot more about that this offseason when we do kind of see this expected competition take place.
Final question about the Atlanta Falcons, and it's Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons reporter, joining me here on the Abe TL Show. For Falcons fans who are maybe going to take a couple of chances to dial in to the NFL Combine and watch some Combine action, what do you think from the Falcons aspect they should maybe be watching for among the pass rushers or the cornerbacks or anything else they can look at?
Okay, so I was theorizing about exactly this morning while I was in the shower, right? So it's a good idea. What's funny about this is that, you should definitely be paying attention to the edge rushers and the defensive linemen. There's every indication that the Falcons will target those positions, especially with premium picks. And there is a specific metric I can advise people to look out for, and that is arm lengths. It's not the 40-yard dash, it's not the shuttle, it's not any of these like fun things that we like to watch, or quote-unquote fun things we like to watch in the NFL Combine. It's the arm length, and especially with Jeff Ulbrich coming in, Raheem Morris said last year that he and Ulbrich, when they were at the Falcons, did a study on successful defensive linemen and found like a strong correlation with arm length, with an ability to do what they need to do, shedding blocks and whatnot. And, so I think that they will stick to that. I think that you can probably like kind of cast out any players that you might think that they would draft that have kind of abnormally short arms. And I would say that you should look at a pool of the players, both in the interior and on the edge with the longer arms, and think that these are going to be the collection of players that the Falcons are targeting.
Victor Wembanyama has long arms. Would he be a good pass rusher?
You never know. I wouldn't rule him out, but probably not.
Something tells me he'd get pushed into the backfield quite easily.
He's bendy.
Joe Patrick, I also ran into you yesterday at the Atlanta United game, and obviously you've been covering the Five Stripes in detail for quite a while alongside some of your duties here for 92.9 The Game. What a debut. Obviously, Latte Loth has two goals, including the season opener. He's also assists on the deciding winner, an absolute golazo, team golazo, but also the final touch from Edwin Mosquera was pristine. Just your thoughts on the season debut for all of the new pieces, Dyla, Miggy, Latte Loth, and what we saw leading to 3 points for the Five Stripes.
Yeah, far from a perfect game, but what a fun game. Just open-ended, so much of it, a lot of shots throughout. And, you saw, I think for an Atlanta United fan, it was just fun to see this explosively athletic, dynamic striker who's got great footwork, who can, jump out of the gym and just be this real true dynamo that this team has not seen. Even though you've had some like prolific strikers like Yorgos Yagamakis, I think there's something about that player in the style of Latte Loth that is just, it gets you out of your seat. Like when he gets on the ball, you kind of just stop your breath and you just kind of watch him work, and it's really fun to see. And so I think that's the main takeaway, was just the buzz in the atmosphere inside the building. And I think a lot of fans are probably can't wait to go back or looking forward to getting to see a game if they watched that one on TV because of how it appeared last night.
My main takeaway was that Joe Patrick treated match day one like the first day of school, had a new haircut, had a brand new suit on. He was looking dapper.
The jacket. Yeah. No, it was good. Hey, I'm glad I worked. We had an impromptu scrum with the commissioner, Don Garber, there. So,
I heard. Well, Joe, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much, man. Look forward to continuing combine coverage, draft coverage, the Kirk Cousins watch. It's all on as we continue this Falcons offseason. Thanks for joining me.
Love it. Thanks for having me on, Ed. Appreciate it, man.
All right, there you go. Joe Patrick, appreciate his time as always. We're going to talk a little bit more about Atlanta United here. I got some thoughts on the Hawks as well. And we've also got a little race going down a little south of Atlanta at Atlanta Motor Speedway. We're going to have some fun talking about that as we wrap things up in our final segment. That's coming your way in about 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.